We're starting the Chazon Ish's work called Emunah U'Bitachon. It's a little pamphlet that the Chazon Ish wrote, and there are many poetic words used here, poetic sentences. I'll do my best to translate in accordance with my humble understanding of the text. Let's begin. Midat Emunah, the trait of Emunah, and we're going to define that word, so it would be wrong of me to translate it as faith, but for lack of a better word, we'll use that word. But Emunah is not exactly what people call faith. As we go through it, we'll get a better understanding. Hinetiyadaka me'adinot hanefesh. It is one of the delicate tendencies of the soul. Im ha'adam u'bal nefesh, if a person has mastered his soul, he has a worthy soul. So that's number one. He's going to say criterion now for this tendency to have emunah. Firstly, a person has to be refined, meaning a murderer is not so inclined to have the emunah we're about to talk about. So firstly, if a person is a bal nefesh, v'sha'ato shat hashket, and he has a certain amount of peace in his life, chofshi merabon tavani, he has to have a moment of freedom from his base desires. Meaning, one of the criterion is going to be that he has to be free from this hunger, from this ravenous desire for physical things. We have moments when all we can think about is what we'd like, what we'd lust, what our desires are yearning for. So if a person has bal nefesh, he has a worthy soul. Two, he has a moment, he has time of tranquility. Three, he is free of those feelings of being ravenous for his desires. And then his eye is impressed when it looks to the heights of the heaven. Meaning, you could have all the other criteria, and you're not impressed. You don't look up to the heaven and say, wow. You're busy doing your thing. And he looks at the earth and thinks about its depths, and he's impressed. If you have these criteria, you have a worthwhile soul. It's a time of tranquility. You aren't focused on your ravenous feelings for the mundane, what we lust. And you stop to look and be impressed with the heavens and the earth. Hunirgash venidam. So then a person has a moment of excitement, of awe. Ki ha'olam nidme lefanav kechidas tuma. One looks at the world and feels like he's looking at a riddle without an answer. Kimusa v'nifla'a. It seems as though it is encased and awesome, mighty, wondrous. V'achida hazot melafefet et levavo u'moho. And if you take that time to think, so suddenly this riddle wraps around your heart, wraps around your mind, v'ukimitalef. And you feel like you're fainting. Lo nishal b'ruach ha'im. It's as though life has left the person. Bilti lachida kol ma'ino magamato. A person suddenly feels like the only thing he wants in life is to resolve that riddle. That's the only thing he wants. Give me the answer. Vedat pitrona kalta nafsho. And his soul yearns to reveal the answer to that riddle. V'nivchal lo lavo b'eshu ma'im bishvila. And he feels like I would go through fire and water to understand the answer to that riddle. Ki malo v'lachayim, because a person feels like, what's the value of life? Im ha'chayim ha'ni'imim ha'ilu, ne'lamim mimenu tachlit ha'ilim. What's the value of life if this pleasant life is in seclusion, is all in hiding? In the essence, I don't understand the most basic thing about the world. You look at the world and suddenly you realize, I don't know what's going on here. I have questions, I don't have answers. I look, I'm in awe. There's something going on here, I understand, but I'm missing something. And I feel like I'm missing something so basic, it's as though life's not worth living. And his soul is dizzy and weeping. His soul is dizzy and in mourning, vikmeha, and yearning. Lavin sodat, to understand the secret behind the universe. What's going on here? Veladat shoshav asharim ninalu. He is yearning to know what's the root, what's behind everything that's going on here. And it seems like the gates are locked before him. So that's our introductory paragraph of the Chazon Ish. If you only stop, if you can only think about life, and you have a worthy soul, and you're not too busy lusting for things, so then you suddenly look with great impression. You say, wow, amazing. But I want to understand what's behind all this. And you feel like the gates are locked. I don't. And life's not worth living. You say, like, if I don't get clarity here, then what am I doing on this planet? Ha'umnam, but, second paragraph, we're in the first chapter, second paragraph. Ha'umnam, ha'adin hazeh pitza'av lo chuvshu adayin. This delicate soul has wounds that have yet to be embalmed. He hasn't bandaged himself. V'hinei huka hakehu fatzoa. And he's been seriously wounded, because in fact he has taken the time to actually research and explore what's going on under the sun. It's not like he's ignored these questions. He's taken time to explore. He stops and he looks at the world, and there are certain things glaring him in the face that seem to say, the world that you're witnessing has been built with a plan. You analyze, you research, you come to a conclusion that someone thought this through. There's a plan behind this world. This world didn't just happen. There's been some kind of plan, some kind of thought that's been invested in advance. And it's as though some brilliant architect, some brilliant engineer, drew the world before him, before it was created. Someone planned this out. And it's as though this architect kept coming up with problems every step of the way. And each time this architect was able to devise a way around the problem. You see things in earth, look at it. The seed goes into the ground. The rain can penetrate the ground to hit the seed. The seed can penetrate the ground to grow upward. The sun can penetrate the clouds. The sun can cause photosynthesis within the plant and the leaves. And every step of the way, you see, there's constant struggle and there's a constant victory. Nature keeps moving forward. There's something going on here. And it's so awesome when you look at it. When you understand the plan of man. A long run-on sentence, we'll pause it in the middle. He says, look at this amazing thing. A human being cannot wear that crown that he's given under the sun. You can't proceed as a human being if you don't know many, many details. You have to understand a lot about the world in order to succeed in this world. Be it, you have to understand what happens if you take a rock and bang it on your head, right? I'll tell you a funny story. One of our kids used to be very focused when they'd walk. Focused on walking next to Abba and Ima. And they would walk next to us and walk into poles and burst out crying. And initially, we couldn't figure out, is this kid a dunce? Like, you're walking with a kid and he walks straight into the pole and he bursts out crying. Oh! And then to make matters worse, one day we're walking the kid home from Gan, and the kid stops me or my wife and tugs at us and says, Abba, Abba! And he's all excited. So you ask him, what happened? And he says, we just walked by a pole and I didn't walk into it. And I'm standing there incredulously looking at the kid, and I'm saying, if this is the brains God gave him, okay, what can I do? But then the kid starts learning math, and he sees a math genius. The kid outdoes all his older siblings. He's like, bam, bam, boom. He's wiping the floor with them. So you realize, in his mind, it took him time to understand that I can walk next to Abba and be focused on not falling behind and not walking to a pole. And for whatever reason, that was complicated for him. It took him time to figure out how to walk next to me and not walk into poles. I don't get it. If I wouldn't have seen it with my own two eyes, I wouldn't have believed it. But you see, the kid's not dumb. In other areas, he's smart. In this area, it took him time to figure it out. Okay? Okay? Says the Chazon Ish, you know, there are a lot of things we have to learn about the planet, like not walking into poles, right? Seems simple. But at some point, you learned that. You have to understand how the physical world works. You have to understand how the plants work. You have to understand how things are built. We learn a lot. We understand a lot about the world. You look at this machine called man. If man does not understand a lot about nature around him, he cannot live in nature.
אשר באמצעות ההורה יגיבו כל הנמצאים על פני האדמה על המכונה היא.
So God plans this out. He says man has to deal with nature. In order to deal with nature, he has to master nature. So within this machine called man, God plans and creates another machine that can react to light. This phenomenal machine is built within the machine called man that now this machine can register what's going on. Everything it looks at reflects light, gives it a different color. It reflects to it and the man understands what texture he's seeing just by light, right? We look, we visualize the world. As we see the world, we have this phenomenal machine called our eye, which can look at the world and understand what it's seeing. Did you ever stop and think what that means? We register, we see, we know. We have a table here, we have a floor there. That's not obvious that a human being will have an eye. So God, when He plans this machine called man, plans within the man an eye that can see. Now that's a pretty phenomenal thing. We look around and we see the different shades of color. וישם בפני האדם שתי מכונות, אחד ממין ואחד משמאל, ואנו רגילים לקרוא את המכונה עין. Now there's another genius thing that happens. God puts two eyes in your head. You guys know something? I have a problem with my eyes. I can't look through both eyes at the same time. I have a problem with my eyes. So I'm always looking with a lazy eye. I'm always looking through one eye. I can't look through both at the same time. Now when I was a kid, I didn't think this was such a big deal. And then I had to learn how to drive. And suddenly the eye doctor says to me, how are you going to drive? And I say, what's the problem? And he says, well, the way we gauge distance is by using both our eyes. What happens is our eyes zoom in and figure out the distance to something because we're using them both at the same time. People who only use one eye cannot gauge distance.
They have to turn their head from side to side.
So, how are you going to drive? So I said, gee, I don't know. Good question. Right? Did we ever stop to think why God gave us two eyes on two sides of our head? You know, they could have both been here. But they're not. They're both here. And that allows us to gauge distance. So there's a plan. When God creates man, He creates him with a plan that God, that man can absorb information through those two machines called the eyes, and specifically two, one to the right and one to the left, and we're accustomed to calling them the eye. Ein yamanit ve'ein smanit. I think the Chazon Ish over here is alluding to a concept in the Kuzari. The Kuzari says we often ignore God because we have terms for things. You see, when we do this, we don't see God. We say, that's gravity. And I'll ask you, what's gravity? And you'll say, what do you mean? It's Earth's pull. And I'll say, why does Earth pull? And you'll say, Einstein, come on, a mass, every mass has a pull on every other mass, and a bigger mass like Earth has a bigger pull on things. And I'll say, why do things have a pull on things? And you'll say, gee, I don't know.
Higgs boson.
Einstein didn't either know. Meaning we use excuses. We have forces at play in the world, and when we have a term in science for the force, then we feel like, I understand it. No, you don't. You understand how it works? Maybe. But you don't really understand where it comes from. What causes the heart to pump blood? What causes our eyes to be able to accept things? We understand what happens in the eye, but we don't understand what's the force behind it. We don't understand that force that's called life. We don't understand what's really making gravity work. What the earlier philosophers called the hand that turns the wheel. Meaning the philosophers referred to it as a series of gears. You have a world, you know how it works. One wheel turns and turns the next wheel and the next wheel and the next wheel. You have a bunch of gears. But there's the original force. What turns that original gear? Same thing's happening in the world. We have a lot of forces at play in the world. And we understand how they work from a certain point onward. But then go back and say, where does the original force come from? What's making everything tick? Where's all this energy coming from? So we use an excuse. We use scientific terminology. We talk about Mother Nature, right? Who's Mother Nature? We don't say God. We say Mother Nature. Who? So that, says the Kuzari, is part of the game we play in our terminology to cover up for God. And I think that perhaps when the Chazon Ish uses this terminology and he says we're accustomed to calling them eyes, what he's alluding to is this concept. Stop and think about it. There's a phenomenal thing going on here. But we call it eyes, and then it's all covered. Come on, you know, you have eyes, right? You see. No, that didn't explain anything. You know how much wisdom there is in the eye? You could spend your whole life looking at what science can uncover in the eye, and you'll never finish. You could spend your whole life listening to what science has to say about the eye, and you'll never finish. And every generation we understand more and more what's going on there. Every generation understands more, and we're still not up to the bottom of it. We're not going to get to the bottom of it. We'll just understand more, but there's always more to learn. So that's the end of chapter 1. The Chazon Ish began the chapter by saying, you look at the world, and yet if you only have time to think, and you're only worthy of thinking, then you're bothered with a question. There's a secret going on here. And when you look at the world, you realize there's a tremendous order within the world. It's as though someone planned all of this. But you don't yet have the answer. What's going on? And that's where we'll pick up Bezrat Hashem next time.